MSSPs and other security service providers comprise the backbone of the cybersecurity industry. They are the organizations on the front line that keep the world running in the face of ever more sophisticated adversaries. In this special series, we're going to be exploring a variety of topics with seasoned experts around the ways they've learned to improve the effectiveness of their organizations. Our guest today is Sharon Florentine, Senior Managing Editor at Cyber Risk Alliance. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about the inaugural MSSP Alert 2024 Pricing Benchmark Report. It's a phenomenal resource for any security service provider looking to understand how they can better position themselves in a very crowded market. But first, a word from the sponsor of this show, Lima Charlie.
My name is Maxime Lamadbrassard, and I'm the founder of Lima Charlie, the company behind the SecOps Cloud platform. Cybersecurity tools today need to evolve from one-size-fits-all silos into a modern tool set designed to adapt to your specific needs. The SecOps Cloud platform works by providing you with ungated access to the underlying security tools and infrastructure you need. Everything is on demand with no minimums, no contracts. It's an approach to cybersecurity that's very similar to that taken by AWS with respect to IT. We offer a full-featured free tier with no credit card required. Get on the platform today and deploy an EDR, start ingesting logs, build a product, or start an MSSP. We're making security flexible so you can build what's possible. You can learn more or get started for free at limacharlie.io.
My guest today is Sharon Florentine, a master technology storyteller and editor with over two decades of experience in shaping the way we understand and engage with technology. Sharon's career spans an impressive range of platforms from books and print magazines to podcasts, live events, and digital media. She's covered everything from AI and cybersecurity to career development and diversity in tech. Currently, Sharon is the senior managing editor for Cyber Risk Alliance's channel brands, Channel IE2E and MSSP Alert, where she's helping to expand the reach of these vital resources for the IT and cybersecurity communities. Sharon has a rich history of editorial leadership, including her previous role as managing editor at TechStrong Group, overseeing Cloud Native Now, DevOps.com, and Security Boulevard. Today, she joins us to discuss the inaugural 2024 MSSP Pricing Benchmark Report, a critical resource for understanding the evolving managing security services market. On today's show, we're going to dive into the trends, pricing strategies, and insights shaping the MSSP landscape. Thank you so much for being on the show with us today, Sharon. It's a real honor to have you here.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Chris. I am thrilled to be here to be talking about this report with you.
Before we dive into the topic, perhaps you can share a little bit about your path into cybersecurity. I'm always interested in how people came to this career, and it seems like you've always been involved in technology, or was that something that came later in life?
It's my favorite story to tell because I was dead set on being a children's book editor. And I did my internship with Henry Holt Books for Young Readers, and that was what I was going to do with my life. And after I graduated back in the dark ages, I was hired by Computing McGraw-Hill and suddenly realized there was this whole world of publishing about computers and technology. And I did a complete 180, and I've been doing this ever since.
Very cool. The children's book thing must be a common dream, because I think I shared some of that when I was younger.
Yeah, it's a lot harder than folks think. It's tough to get in, and it's tough to do it right. But
when me and my wife were early in our relationship, I actually created a children's book called Me and You Achu. And it was about a couple surviving the pandemic before we had the pandemic. So
that's it's your fault, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe. I remember the last line, the last page of the book, it ended with, you know, they go through this whole thing where they escape the city and they get out into the woods and their plan is to like isolate. And the last line of the book is, we finally made it, Yahoo. It's just me and you, achoo. One of them sneezes and they're sick. So,
oh my gosh. So did you have trouble finding a publisher for that? Or
actually, I turned it into an animated app and had it on the Apple App Store for a little while, but just a hard sell, I guess.
Huh.
It wasn't much of a marketer back then. So.
I can't imagine why. That's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Little bit of a side road there, but I love talking about that. So
that's okay. I love the side roads. All good.
Okay, so today we're here to talk about the 2024 MSSP Pricing Benchmark Report. This report is designed to provide the MSSP community with valuable insights into the market landscape, helping businesses better understand how their peers price their services and where their offerings fit within the broader pricing ecosystem. I had a read through it, and I can say that it's full of tons of valuable information for anybody running or looking to start an MSSP, how services are being priced, what services are being offered, loads of valuable intel for somebody trying to figure out how to be successful in the market.
Yeah, it's such a great piece of research, and we were kind of surprised that no one had done something similar before, but that just gave us a huge opportunity to blaze a new trail.
Awesome. So can you maybe explain what the primary goal of the 2024 MSSP Pricing Benchmark Report and the gap it fills in the market?
Yeah, sure. It is a little bit of a mouthful.
Yeah.
But what we recognize, like I was saying, is there are a lot of resources already for MSPs, for managed services providers. There's like ASCII Group, Service Leadership, True Methods. There are a bunch of resources available that provide pricing and services information. But there wasn't anything comparable for MSSPs. And we thought, why don't we become that resource for MSSPs? We are MSSP Alert, after all, and we really try to be the voice of the MSSP. And there are only about 10,000, give or take a couple thousand MSSPs worldwide. That's according to research firm Canalys. But that's our primary audience at MSSP Alert. So what we were hoping to do was fill that information gap for them to help them better price and thus better deliver the security services that they're offering.
I know we're going to work through the report sort of piece by piece, but what was the most surprising finding that came out of the report? And is there something specific MSSP should take note of?
I think for me, it was most surprising the crossover aspect and the crossover between MSSPs and MSPs. And by that, I mean what type of managed services provider offered which type of service. So like, I think some people look at MSSPs and think, oh, they must only offer security. And then you would go to an MSP for everything else, for monitoring and infrastructure and IT ticketing and training and that kind of thing. But that's not the case. And what we found was a lot of MSPs are having to shift to also offer security services right now, or they subcontract, so to speak, an MSSP to provide that. Then they will bundle it and pass that service along to their end customer. And that was kind of surprising, but also the fact that there are certain security services that MSSPs don't offer that to me seem like it would be a no-brainer. AppSec, application security, is one that's not normally offered, and that surprised me. Security awareness training was a huge one that I kind of sat back and went, why is an MSSP not offering security awareness training? But, you know, we found that what's happening is MSPs are offering EDR, MDR, security awareness. That's their top services across all of the bundles that they're putting together. So that's where those services are coming from, the MSP, not necessarily the MSSP. And granted, I will give you the caveat that we only had 16 MSPs respond, so that might not be representative of the entire market, but
it does make a lot of sense to me. I mean, if somebody's already providing the RMM type services, you know, security and IT are almost one and the same now just because of the seriousness of the topic, right?
Right. That's exactly it. Yep.
In the report, you highlight that services like SOC, MDR, and EDR are widely offered in MSSP bundles. What trends or customer demands have made these services foundational? Is it just the general awareness of cybersecurity or?
I think that for sure, it's in the headlines every day. Someone got breached, someone got attacked, millions of customer data records were lost. But I also think there's a growing need for that 24/7, 365 management monitoring, yes, but it's also the cybersecurity skills gap. So it's really expensive to find and retain and vet and keep cybersecurity talent internally at a company. And so even if you can find someone, hire them, you know, they have all the skills that you need. The industry is so tough and there are so many threats. It changes so fast all the time. Folks get burned out and then they leave. And then you're right back at the beginning. You got to find someone, you got to train them, you got to vet them. And so a lot of organizations are finding it's easier to just offload all of that responsibility to an MSP or an MSSP and say, you know what? You guys have the talent, you have the skills, you have the resources, and it's reliable. It's not keeping me up at night. I'm going to let it keep you up at night instead.
That's interesting. I remember reading in the report that the sort of average price per endpoint that MSSPs were charging was around $47, but all the way up to $200. How do these organizations differentiate their service bundles between basic and premium tiers? And how does the impact of those pricing ranges impact the customer's perception on the service?
That's a really good question. So I think, and this was something that we did not specifically ask, but I will give you our thoughts on it, my thoughts on it. I think it seemed like from the research that there was a pretty consistent core services bundle that almost everybody offered, and that was SOC, MDR, vulnerability, a SIM or a SIEM, depending on how you pronounce it. I've heard it both ways.
I know that's a pretty controversial topic.
Yeah. Threat intel, incident response. And those are kind of table stakes when it comes to security. Like you're making sure that your customers' infrastructure, their network, their email, all of their systems are protected. And then you are scanning constantly for incoming threats. That's kind of your basic bare bones.
That's where the conversation starts.
Yep, exactly. And so that's all stuff that can be handled. Like, I don't want to say it can be handled easily, but it's standardized, it's efficient, it's cost effective. You can deliver that in a fairly standard, repeatable way. But over and above that, it gets more complicated. It gets time and resource intensive. And so I think that's where it leads to that premium designation. When it's a little more complex for you to give that to the customer, then you're going to charge more for it. And I think we're going to talk about this later, but we also found that a lot of those over and above services were the ones that got customized for different customers. And so there's that element of specialization instead of the one-size-fits-all model.
Right. Yeah, I remember being really surprised to read, I think it was only like 50% of MSSPs were offering disaster recovery services, which for me feels like should be a core offering. I've never worked in an MSSP, but, you know, with the ransomware and those kind of threats, it seems like a big gap in the service offerings of a lot of MSSPs.
It does. It definitely does.
And I also remember reading in the report that some people were stating that they had a $0 per endpoint. Was that just because their pricing model was maybe different? Like they were doing a full contract versus a per endpoint structure?
Yeah, that's what we think. We were also, when we saw that come in, we were like, are they giving it away? Where did the zero? How do you charge zero for that? But I think you're exactly right. I think they're bundling some of those outliers into other packages we did not, I'll be honest, we did not go back and regroup and dive deeper into why that zero was there. I hope that we can revisit that for the next iteration of the research, but that's a really interesting point for sure.
Yeah. So in the report, you also talk about services like virtual CISO, incident response, and threat intelligence. Those seem to be gaining traction. What's driving MSSPs to expand their portfolios in this area? Is it just unmet need and opportunity?
I think so. Yeah, for sure. I think it's market, it's cybersecurity threat evolution too. It's the whack-a-mole problem, right? Like, just when you get a handle on one particular threat, then the attackers are going, oh, well, I can't get in that way anymore. So let me go try this other way that I can get what I need. And then the focus has to shift to addressing that technology, that threat, and that vector. And then that cycle just keeps on going.
Yeah, that's one thing about this industry. It's constantly evolving, and there's no shortage of work and opportunities in solving these problems. It's sort of that cat and mouse game, right?
Exactly.
You mentioned globally there's about 10,000 MSSPs. I think most of the respondents in the report were smaller MSSPs, you know, 1 to 100 employees kind of size. How does company size influence service offerings and the pricing strategies that you're seeing?
So I think it's kind of basic economics. If you are smaller, you have fewer resources, you might have fewer customers because you're not able to service more than those smaller customers. And I think it also depends on what your end goal is for your MSSP. Are you a small business owner who's just trying to, you want to support your family, you want to support your employees' families, you want to contribute to your larger community and enough to make a living and help your employees make a living? Okay, so you're going to get to a certain level, and then that's where you're going to be comfortable and happy, and you're going to go and live your life. Whereas if your end goal is to grow a business, sell it, and then make an exit, that might be a completely different story. And again, we didn't really get into the reasons why it was priced. Folks were pricing their services and bundles the way they were, but that's my guess.
Yeah, I think that's a great insight. You know, just my experience with working with security practitioners and stuff, I don't think a lot of people are in this to make a ton of money. I think, like you said, they want to provide for the families and be able to, you know, give back to the communities. And it's not necessarily about the big exit.
Yeah, indeed.
To that point, does the funding model, self-funded versus private equity or venture capital, did you see any effect of that on the way pricing and services were delivered?
I don't know if it impacts the actual pricing, so to speak, because I think regardless of how you're funded, if you are way more expensive than everyone else offering similar services, you're not going to succeed. That's basic market supply and demand.
Economics 101.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I do think it impacts scalability, because if you are funded by investment, if you're funded by private equity or VC, then the people that are funding you are going to want to see a certain amount of growth.
Right. The pressure is on.
Right. The pressure is on. And so, yeah, maybe you're a little more expensive, or maybe you stretch a little bit more to be able to offer more services because your end goal is different. You want to grow beyond a certain point so that you can garner further investment to grow more and further investment and grow more and on and then exit.
Do you think that differentiation is there anything to glean from that in terms of cost transparency and service expectations when engaging with an MSSP? Are you going to get better service from this quote unquote mom and pop shop that are just there to provide service for somebody that's trying to grow the business?
That's a really great question. I don't know. To be completely honest, I would think it's for someone who's looking for an MSSP, I think it really comes down to, yes, price, but you also get what you pay for, but you should take that into consideration and talk to other customers. You should look at public feedback. You should look at any kind of public filings that public companies have to do.
Just like the basic due diligence when engaging a new supplier.
Exactly.
There's nothing special here. I was just curious if you had any personal insights there.
Yeah, no. And again, that was not something that we really looked into, but it's a great point.
Is there specific things that you hope MSSPs and the broader cybersecurity community take away from this report?
I think it's really just about helping them be successful, which was our big goal with this was we want them to see what their peers are doing. We want them to see what they can do and what options are out there for services, and then be able to price them appropriately so that they can attract business and attract new customers, and then they can grow.
Yeah, from reading the report, the thing I thought that would be super valuable was just the different kinds of services that organizations are offering and at what percentages. It kind of shows you where the gaps are and maybe some things that you might be able to offer that bring a lot of value that a lot of your competitors aren't doing.
Yes, exactly.
Do you have any ideas how this report might evolve in subsequent editions? I know you mentioned you didn't loop back on a couple things, and maybe there's some things that if you got to start again or in the next iteration, you would like to address that you didn't get to in this one.
For sure. I would love to dig deeper into some of the questions that you raised, not just about what the pricing is and what the services offered were, but definitely dig deeper into the why. I don't know how forthcoming respondents would be when asked about that. But considering the survey is anonymous and we keep the identifying information private, I am hopeful that we can get some more of that background information and motivation information that I think should really inform it.
Yeah, it would be great if you can. Just observationally, I know MSSPs seem to be a little more secretive about how they do their business. And I think because it's such a competitive landscape, whereas if you look at threat intel in every areas of cybersecurity where information sharing is sort of at the forefront, MSSPs seem to play it a little closer to the chest, as it were.
Indeed. Indeed. I mean, it is cybersecurity, so they have reason to be skeptical for sure.
Yeah. Don't trust anybody. Zero trust. Isn't that what we say?
Exactly. Trust, but verify.
There you go. Okay, so this is a new take on a slightly old question that I ask everybody that comes on the show. It can be as wide or as narrow as you want. Do you have any predictions for the future of how MSSPs are going to operate in the cybersecurity space?
Whew. Oh, boy.
Everybody always loves this one.
I know. I think MSSPs are going to play a much larger role in cybersecurity going forward. Obviously, I hope so, because I'm at MSSP Alert, so that would be great for us. But I really do think, everybody always says, as the cybersecurity landscape evolves, and it really is constantly evolving and it's constantly changing. And like we talked about at the beginning, between the skills gap and the constant evolution of threats, it's so much, but MSSPs have specialized knowledge, they have specialized resources, and they are uniquely equipped to go out and tackle these threats. And I think there's a really huge opportunity for MSSPs going forward to go out and really change, level the playing field in cybersecurity.
Yeah, I agree with that.
If that wasn't too vague and weird.
No, I agree with you 100%. I think the topics you brought up earlier, such as like staff turnover and all the complexity in keeping a security operation running, that's generally just too much for even a large organization to bring in internally. So, contontracting it out to services that specialize in that, I think is definitely something that we're going to see grow.
Yeah, I hope so.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show with me today, Sharon. It's been a really great conversation, and I will make sure to link the report in the show notes. Super valuable stuff. Anybody working in an MSSP or thinking about starting one, I 100% recommend you go take a look at this.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. This is great.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet.